Again, in this season of Advent, I wanted to draw our attention to not necessarily one of the words. Maybe you've been doing the joy and the hope and the peace and the love. There's an aspect of Advent that brings us to this place of anticipation. I'm going to move this out of the way, if I may. Advent is this season of expecting something to happen, expecting the Christ child to come, and now we wait again in this season after the cross, waiting for the coming of Christ again. So I wanted to focus on that, that particular portion of the Advent time in waiting. I wanted to do that with a few different scriptures that we can focus on, and then adding some more into that as we go along too. So be reading to begin with from Psalm 62, and then we will also go on to two passages from Isaiah, from chapter 7 and chapter 8. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, so it may sound different than possibly what you have in front of you there. And that's okay, too. It brings out a different aspect of that. Now listen to what David says in Psalm 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, and I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together, lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. And from Isaiah 7, maybe a more familiar Advent reading. Isaiah 7 at verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Remember what Emmanuel means? God with us. And from Isaiah 8 verse 17. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. One of the more difficult things that I've found to do in life is waiting. Waiting can be difficult. Find yourself in a traffic backup when you're either just about out of gas or you really need to use the bathroom. Waiting can be very difficult. Especially, I find that myself. My wife knows this to be true of me. If I have to wait in traffic or if something is happening and I don't understand it, I get impatient with that. I don't like waiting. I don't know. Does anybody here like waiting? I don't know. I don't know if we do. I don't know. I think it's just kind of naturally against our way. We just want it to happen. We don't want to have to wait around any longer. Especially, right, kids? Especially when it's getting closer and closer to Christmas. Do you get to open a gift on Christmas Eve? Do we really have to wait all the way to Christmas morning? And then maybe, it's almost Christmas Eve. Can't we open one now? They're all there. They're all ready. Waiting can be such a chore at times. But waiting has been a part of the history of God's people for a long time. If you think about that passage that we read from Isaiah, that prophecy, to you a son will be given, this was 700 years before. Not only did they have to wait, they never saw it. So think about waiting for Christmas morning and you're supposed to get your presents and you know they're going to be there, except you don't get it. Waiting and waiting and waiting only to realize that you are not going to be the recipient of what's being talked about, but still in that hopeful anticipation, waiting for things. There were lots of people in Scripture that waited. Noah waited on several occasions. Noah waited as the 40 days of rain fell. When will this end? And then he waited after the rains stopped and the storm was over. He waited for a long time before it seemed as if things had settled down a bit and he came to rest. And then he waited as he would look to see if there was any sense of life on the earth again. Noah kept finding himself in this place of waiting. Abraham and Sarah, they waited. Boy, they waited a long time to have this promised child. It must have seemed like forever. I mean, if you're told to wait for a child, I mean, if you're thinking a couple years or so, maybe that's one thing, but to wait for decades as you wait on the promise of God. Jacob had to wait. Remember what Jacob waited for? Jacob waited for Rachel. He waited 7 years, and then he was duped. After all that, 7 years of waiting, only to find out he got Leah instead. And then he had to work another 7 years, but he said, oh, those days just went by so quickly. Now, sometimes waiting can feel like that when you have your hope set on something. Now, he had some interaction maybe yet with Rachel in this whole seven-year process, and then some. But he was a man who had to wait. You remember Hannah? Hannah would go to the temple year after year praying to God that she too would have a son. Waiting and waiting until finally Samuel was born. There's that sense of waiting sometimes that causes people to respond to God, to maybe ask him again, what's going on? David brings that out here. In one sense, in verse 3 of Isaiah or Psalm 62, how long? Now he's talking about how long will all of you attack a man and batter him? How long is this going to keep going? But David would regularly cry out before his God, how long, O Lord? There is that sense. Psalm 13, verse 1 says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Like we read there in Isaiah, how long? There's this, I think that gets at this place where we don't like to wait, right? Nobody here likes to wait. And so we get to that place. It's like, well, when is it going to happen? If you're sitting in traffic, when exactly is traffic going to start moving again? What's going on up there? We begin to ask questions. We try to look down the road a little bit to try to figure it out. Well, David would do that by crying out to his God, how long, O Lord? You know, Jesus was acquainted with waiting. Isaiah made this prophecy that Jesus was going to come. Now, at this point, Jesus is still outside of time. So I don't know what waiting was like for Jesus, but his waiting actually predates Isaiah's prophecy. This was the plan for before there was time, that Christ would come into the world to be the Savior of the world. He waited for that to happen. Galatians says that at just the right time. There was a sense that Jesus had to wait. Jesus also waited for how to reveal himself, when to fully reveal himself to the people. He would even tell his mother, my time has not yet come. He would only do so much in so many different ways so that people would begin to know him, but not jump ahead so much or think of him in only one way. Maybe he's just a healer. It wouldn't be all bad for some, right? If Jesus was just a healer, but he was so much more than that. But he needed to begin to systematically and carefully, thoughtfully reveal himself so that people would begin to see the fullness of who he was. And now Jesus is waiting once again. When, Father, will the time be right that you send me back to my people again? Send me back to the world so I can finish this plan of redemption. Waiting. Maybe, just maybe, waiting is an actual part of the plan of God. Maybe it's a part that we don't like, right? Because we said we don't like waiting, but how many times didn't he make people wait? He can just, how long did it take? If you would say, turn on the water, it doesn't take too long, right? God did that. He spoke the world into existence. He has that authority. He has the ability to just speak and it happens. When Jesus was there at the grave of his friend Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come out. And he can just command that to happen, and it does. So he could have removed all the waiting. He could have not had Noah go through all of that. He could have had it where David didn't have to wait to become the king. He could have taken out this whole thing of waiting, but it seems as if God has waiting as a part of his divine plan for us. So there must be some benefit to waiting. If God is using waiting as a part of his plan, people had been waiting for so long. Actually, the waiting period for Christ to come began in the garden when the promise was made, I'm going to send one that will undo the work of the snake and will crush his head and will bring about the redemption of all that's been happening there, all the failure that took place in the garden. God is going to bring that about. The waiting has happened since the dawn of mankind. And so there has to be a purpose in it. So if there is a purpose, if God has purposed waiting as part of his grand plan, there has to be some good in it. Because God only does good. Even in his justice, God is good. So waiting has to have some great benefits. Did you notice maybe what all of these examples that we gave here had in common? All the different waitings? All of them are waiting for God to fulfill his plan or his purpose. Noah, Hannah, David, all the people that are waiting for something are waiting for God to fulfill his promise to them. And so as we wait, where does your attention begin to go? If you are contemplating the divine plan, where does your attention go while you're waiting. Sometimes it goes in the wrong place, and we turn inward, or we begin to lose focus, but our attention is meant to turn back to God. If this is part of His divine plan, and He has me waiting, maybe I should turn my attention back to Him. Maybe if He has me in this place of waiting, there's a reason for that. Maybe there's something that I'm supposed to understand. It should be, our attention should be to go back to God in those times. Waiting also gives us more time. There's probably something that we're meant to experience in the waiting. God doesn't waste time. So if He has us waiting, there's something to learn there. Maybe it's more time to pray. Maybe He's drawing you and me back into a time of fervent prayer, drawing us back into relationship with Him. Not just giving Him a laundry list of the things that we want to do, but drawing us back into the very heart of God, trying to understand, if You're asking me to wait, Lord, and it seems like a long time, how long must I wait, and what do You have planned for me in the waiting? It was interesting when I was looking and preparing for this message, and I looked at that idea that comes up repeatedly in the Psalms. How long? Do you know the first time that phrase is used in the Old Testament? God used it. And God used it of His people. How long will you sit there and not decide for me, basically, was what He's saying. How long are you going to keep on going on like this and not turn to me? The first how long was actually asked by God. He wants us to be in relationship with Him. He wants us to be able to grow in our understanding. He wants us to respond to what He's saying. And so, in that time of waiting, maybe God is also waiting to meet us, waiting to join us in the process so He can encourage us and speak to us and bring us to this place where we make a decision. You know, in our waiting, the question how long comes up. If you're sitting there in traffic, you're trying to figure that out. Was there an accident? All kinds of questions might come up. Did somebody's car break down? Questions are part of the waiting. And God is not afraid of our questions. That's a wonderful realization when we come to this place of waiting on God. He is not afraid of your questions. He has a good answer. And He would invite you. Sometimes when you read through the Psalms, we're almost appalled at some of the attitudes of people towards God, but God doesn't stifle that. He wants to meet you in the questions that you have as you wait on Him. It's okay to ask Him questions. Waiting gives us time to remember and reevaluate. Job was one who had to wait a long time too. At the end of the book of Job, as God begins to respond to Job, and Job begins to realize he's been, for lack of a better way, a little bit out of place in his questioning of God, his demeanor towards Him, Job comes to this realization. Job 42:2 says, "I know that You can do all things, and that no purpose of Yours can be thwarted." In this long waiting, Job is actually one of my favorite books. And I don't know why, because it's all about waiting for an answer from God. It's waiting to see what God is going to do. It's in this midst of suffering. When is God going to show up? And when God shows up, He shows up in great power. And Job rightfully takes his place humbly before his God, and he realizes that God is the one who is in control of all things, and that he is going to continue to do what he has planned to do. There are so many things that we can take advantage of in our waiting, because I think we're meant to. We're meant to cry out. We're meant to engage God in prayer. We're meant to ask him questions, because he wants us to grow in the understanding of the things that he has purposed and planned in our lives. Waiting is also an invitation. I think if we saw it that way, maybe waiting wouldn't be so bad. If you saw waiting as an invitation from God to focus on him more, that would change our perspective. I don't know how that helps me in traffic yet. I tend to think that everything should work the way I think it should. So glad it doesn't. I have muddled up my own circumstances so many times in my life, and so if I had to order things, I would not have waiting. In fact, if I see traffic up ahead and it looks like it's just going to be stalled for a long time, I will take a different way. It may actually take me longer to get there, but I don't have to wait. I just keep driving. Right? Isn't that a great way to do it? You get to see different things, right? Maybe we see, but in the waiting, maybe there's something that we can be invited into. My wife has said when there's traffic things and I don't understand, she says, "Well, maybe somebody's wife is having a baby and they're it's like, well, okay, maybe if there's something going on up ahead and it stalled things out, maybe it's just time to pray. Father, if there's an accident up ahead, would you be with the people? Maybe if you're waiting on some circumstance in your life and you just don't understand why nothing is changing, it's an invitation to cry out to God, to just join him in prayer. Maybe it's a place where you can join with other people and say, "I'm just at this terrible place in my life right now, and I could really use you to come alongside me and join me in this, because the waiting is lonely and it's hard." Maybe we can begin to refocus in our waiting. Focus on the God who sees and hears. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry." One of the darkest psalms. Does anybody remember the darkest psalm? Nope. Psalm 88 is meant to be the darkest psalm in Scripture, in the Psalms. If you look at that, it basically ends with this idea that darkness is my only friend. And you just hear the anguish of the soul of the writer. But it starts out with, "I cry to you, O Lord, my God, my salvation." In the midst of this dark place where I'm sure he's wanting his circumstance to change, he cries out to God because he knows God is the powerful Savior. He knows where to turn and his anxious. If you read that psalm someday, look at how many times he goes back to reference who God is. He knows who he's speaking to. He knows he's the one. And so waiting gives us this opportunity to focus, because God does hear us. He sees us. It's a time to learn from God and understand. Psalm 25:5, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. We can learn from God in our waiting. There's opportunity there, because sometimes we need to slow down a bit because we're not seeing some of the things that he wants us to see, right? We want to rush through life and get on with what we think is important and necessary, and sometimes he puts a traffic jam in front of you to say, well, it's going to take you longer now. I'm going to bring you this way. And I've found that if God has directed me in a different way, there's a really good reason for it. And there's something that he's going to be glorified in that. And we're going to learn something about the character of God and maybe my own character, that I need to wait, that I need to trust, I need to learn. There's something more that he's trying to teach me. Maybe we wait to be strengthened in the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Just a side note here. If you have a way, either on a phone or some device on your computer, where you can go to a Bible app and type in the word wait, do that and see the wonderful treasures that are there that are hidden about waiting on God. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. There's something that he's about to do that is meant to strengthen us, encourage us, motivate us, to bring us to this place where once we see it, we wonder why we ever doubted that God was going to do something. Waiting is a time to declare what you have known to be true in God's word. As we reflect on what we've gone through, the things that we've experienced in our lives, in our waiting, we can make that declaration, oh God, I know how you have dealt with me in the past, and you have always been gracious. If we begin to make these statements of trust to God, it shapes the way our waiting goes, and it's not so difficult then, because we know God has a plan for us. We know he has accomplished it before. Not only have we heard it from Job, but you probably have dealt with it and felt it in your own life, where God has met you in the waiting, and he has always proven himself faithful to you. And so as you get to that next place of waiting, you go there with that ability to make those declarative statements, as you have done in the past, oh God, I know you will do it again. Those things will begin to inform our hearts and minds. It gives us the opportunity as we wait, to wait in confidence. In David's psalm here, he says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. What's going to shake David? David, you remember where little kids learn about David? What's the story everybody knows about David? David and Goliath, right? I don't know what picture you have in your mind, but obviously when there's a 9-foot giant standing in front of you, 6'3" is still small. Oh. Now imagine one of you little kids standing in front of a giant, having a slingshot, thinking you're pretty all that, except for this giant is 3 times as tall as you. But you're there not because you're confident of your slingshot, which David was a really good shot. Just read the story. His confidence was not in his ability. I stand here in the confidence and the strength of the Lord my God. He will deliver his people. He always has. This little pipsqueak out there on the field with this big giant who's got a sword that David could probably hardly pick up. And there he is standing in this absolute confidence that God is going to do what he said he is always going to do, and he will be there to rescue his people. We can wait in confidence with David. Verses 5 and 8, 5 through 8, again, keep that same chorus going. For God alone, David is so confident. And I think it's a helpful thing for us to realize, if you begin to say the promises of God over and over, it is going to sink into your mind, especially when you have eyes to see that this is absolutely true. He has done these things in the past. So you can confidently say, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. I've done it in the past. I can do it now, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation and my fortress. I shall not be shaken. He changes his demeanor a little bit in that, I will not be greatly shaken. And I think he begins to remember the things that God has shown him in the past. And he says, you know what? I can't be shaken. I just can't be. Not because of who I am, but because of who God is. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. At the end of that psalm there, David recalls in his mind, once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. In my waiting, I've had time to remember the very character and nature of God. I have heard him speak before. I have heard it over and over. That power belongs to God. And so if you're waiting in this place where you feel just powerless to move the needle one tick in your favor for whatever your circumstance is, God has all power with him. And to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. What a wonderful combination to have all power and all love together. What do you call somebody that has all power but no love? They're a dictator. They are not for you. That's not who David is speaking about. David says, my God has all power, and he has this hesed, this steadfast love, this covenant faithful love to his people throughout all time. And you will render to a man according to his work. If you trust in God, he will not disappoint you ever. If you continue to cry out to him, he will hear you. If you keep waiting on him, he will meet you in the waiting. You may be in a season in your life right now where you're waiting. I don't know. Even in a small gathering like this, somebody is waiting. Somebody has something going on in their life where they're looking for what God will do. Waiting on an answer from God. Maybe you've been praying for a long time and you're wondering when he's going to answer. You're waiting for direction in life. Where is God leading me? Where will my path go? What will be my future as I continue to trust in God and rely on what he has to say? Maybe. Like I am, you're waiting for a loved one to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And we think, how long, O Lord? You want them to come into your family. How long will that take? We all are waiting for the Lord to return. All of us. maybe with different anticipations about that, but there's something about what we've been talking about today that leads us into a place of, if you go on and you keep reading through the book and you get to, we read from the opening chapter of Revelation, when you keep reading that story, you begin to see how desperately the world needs Christ to return, because the world, if you haven't noticed, is being plunged deeper and darker into this place of despair. And is there any hope? And is he going to return? We're waiting on his return. As you do that, wherever you're waiting, I would invite you to wait with the same confidence that David had. Verse 8 says, trust in him at all times, O people. Proverbs said it, trust in the Lord with all your heart, at all times, in every season. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He will not let you down. He will never disappoint. He has a plan for you. He sent his son into the world because his plan is for his people. His plan is for the world. He loved the world so much that he sent his son into the world at just the right time. And that just the right time was thousands of years of waiting. We don't have to wait that long. We're not going to wait that long. God has put a time limit on our age, so we won't have to wait thousands of years. And we don't have to wait wondering. We can wait in confidence because, brothers and sisters in our Lord, he is faithful. He is going to accomplish that, and he is a refuge for us. Amen? Amen. Father, we pray that in this Advent season, as we wait for different things, as we wait for Christmas Day to see the joy that comes in celebration, waiting to see how you will show up again, wondering if there will be snow on the ground, waiting to see and remember again the coming of the Christ child who changed our lives forever. And so, Father, help us to wait with great assurance as David did, even as the enemy came against him. And we have him against us yet today. The enemy is still relentlessly pursuing us and wants to wreak havoc in our waiting. And so, Father, meet us in the times of waiting. And as we wait again for that glorious return of Christ our King, may we wait with absolute confidence that your plan will prevail. Christ will come, and glory will be his. Help us wait with confidence. May that be something that people see in us, and may it draw them into the story as well. So use us as we wait. In Jesus' name.